I was amazed to realize just how close Ireland and Italy truly are in the similarities. I would guess that most of Europe is in that same situation. There's one missionary that we were with in a missions conference. He was a missionary to Hungary. Has come back and changed ministry. He is now going to all of Europe, saying that they sent the gospel here to America. It's time for that ship to turn around and take it back. Folks, there is such a need for the gospel across the world, but Europe especially. So I've asked you to turn to Matthew. I'm not there yet. But verse number 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Father, I ask that you would take this tonight. Lord, as you showed us surrender last night, I ask that you would simply show us how to look at the multitude. Lord, you have this in our Bibles for a reason. You noticed it. It's something that we each need to notice. The mission field is not overseas. It's in our own backyard. Lord, I ask that you would simply show us this through this scripture and the scriptures that I'm going to use tonight. In your name, amen. Let's continue on to chapter 10 and verse number 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Skip down to verse number 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Number 1, he saw the multitudes. Look back to verse number 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Christ himself, God himself, saw the multitudes. And he didn't just notice it and let it pass by. He pointed it out to his disciples. And we have it recorded here in Scripture. Not just for their benefit. All Scripture is for our benefit. He saw the multitudes for our sake. He was moved with compassion on them. He was moved with compassion on the multitudes. The lost we have with us always. And that's the multitudes. He had very few disciples that truly followed him and never forsook him. Even Peter and the rest of the disciples forsook him at one point. But most of the multitudes that followed him weren't true disciples. They left him. They were part of the lost. Our message is dead, but for the compassion for souls with whom we share the gospel. If we don't take the gospel to them, for example, every religion out there has a message, has something they wish to tell anyone. The Muslims serve Allah. The Catholics, whatever the Pope says is the truth. Every religion out there has a message. What is ours? Christ gave us the gospel. But if we don't have compassion like Christ did, who's going to listen? Nobody wants to listen to a dead message. He said to pray for laborers. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Here we have a prayer request. But we don't understand, just reading verse number 38, what the reason behind the prayer request is. If a brother or sister in Christ were to say, pray for this person, they've got terminal cancer, it hits our heart. The doctors have said that there's no hope. Okay, we should pray about this. But how often do we pray about it more than just in that church service? How often do we put it on our prayer list and truly pray for it until Christ takes them home or there's a cure? But then they go a step further, whether in that service or you ask them one-on-one, what's the relationship? What's more of the story to this person? Oh, you see, that's my niece. There, it's personal for them. It's not just somebody that they know. It's my niece. She's 3 years old. Now it makes it personal for us. It's a child. They've got their whole life ahead of them. But why should it be any different? A prayer request should be a prayer request. But it affects our heart different. Christ said to pray for laborers. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Pastor, on average, how many missionaries contact you a week, let's say? 3, 4, more? Essentially, it's the same thing. We hear missionaries wanting to go to the field all the time. There's lots of missionaries. There's lots of missionaries all over the world. But there are over 8 billion people in the world. Not all of them have heard, let alone a lot of them don't even have a Bible or scripture in their language. And then we go back to verse number 37, where he says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Christ himself asked his disciples, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Pray and ask me to send forth laborers into my own harvest. It kind of, in our mind, why wouldn't he just send laborers? He wants to get a hold of our heart. You see, I had prayed that same prayer. I had read that book about the martyrs, and I had prayed and asked God to send someone, just not me. I was comfortable at home doing what my family has done since I was young. But God wanted me. Looking back, I knew then that God was speaking to me about going as a missionary. But I didn't want to go. Like I said, I was comfortable in the family business. And then he had that go ye therefore moment. It wasn't the pray ye therefore anymore. I figured out a couple of years later who it was he was wanting. It was me. How many of us, it doesn't have to be across the seas, but how many of us have had that pray ye therefore? We've had somebody on our heart that we need to ask God to save them for. They're on our heart for a reason. God's wanting us to go and reach them. So pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. He needs laborers in his harvest. If you saw the video last night, Hudson Taylor was asked, how long have you had the glad tidings in your country? His reply was, some hundreds of years. What hundreds of years? My father sought the truth and died without finding it. Oh, why did you not come sooner? This man was an older gentleman. He lived his life. His father passed away years before Hudson Taylor was even born. He was a master of religion, many, many religions, yet he saw no hope in them. And when he found the truth, he knew that it was the truth. There was no doubt about it. His only question about the truth is, why did you keep it from us for so long? It is often the newest believer that is the most on fire for God. You see, this new convert, this older gentleman, became a soul winner, one of Hudson Taylor's greatest soul winners in China. because he knew what the truth was. And he had lost somebody because they didn't have it. The world is in that condition. He commanded us to tell others. Let's look at chapter 10 real quick. So, going from verse 38 to chapter 10, there is no break. It's, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, so he says, essentially, look at it as a church service, if you will. He's standing up in front of them and giving them, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Okay, now come closer. I have something I need my disciples, my 12, to hear. My close friends, this is something I have to tell you. And when he had called them together, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. You see, the pray ye therefore and the go ye therefore, they were simultaneous. They happened together. There is no daybreak. There's no days, weeks, months. There's no break there. Chapter breaks, verse breaks are not inspired. Contrary to what we would believe as independent Baptists. It's there in Scripture. Why isn't it there? It's because we have to break it up to be able to find our place, to understand different parts so we can follow along. That's the only reason it's there. It's not there to say this is a separate portion of Scripture. The only time, to my knowledge, that you'll find that is in the book of Psalms. And even there, Psalm 119, it goes on and on, but there's multiple portions in there. So we have the pray ye therefore and the go ye therefore as one, essentially one time frame, one statement. He commands us to tell others. Turn over to Matthew chapter 28. In verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power in heaven, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's reach them for my sake. Baptize them, the next step after salvation. And then drop down to verse number 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's all Scripture. That's to disciple them. We in our churches in America, I'm guessing, across the globe, have failed at this one. Let's get numbers. Let's get salvations. Let's get baptisms. And let's move on. Our churches would be doing far more. We would have a lot more members that wouldn't leave if they would be discipled in the truth. I don't know the condition of this church. From what I've seen, it's a strong church. It's doing this. But churches across America, churches across the world, are in this condition. Turn over to Mark chapter 16. We'll see a parallel scripture. Verse number 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Verse number 15. Go ye into all the world, missions, and preach the gospel to every creature. That's something that in America, we oftentimes look at the color, we look at other things, position, in job, whatever you will, we look at that and say, not worthy. Or heaven forbid, God call us to reach a Muslim after what they did on 9/11. But you see, it wasn't them. Those that did it died. They're different people, but they're people all the same. We have these two parallel passages as Christ's last words. It's the Great Commission. Often as a culture, we put weight, a lot of weight, on a person's last words. Why do we not do the same with Christ's last words? We want to reach others if it benefits us. What about benefiting Him? We must keep in focus the last words of Christ as the most important of all. It's a great commission. It involves each and every one of us. You see, outside of these four walls, and in most every church, inside the four walls, is a mission field. There's somebody that needs to be reached. If you will, turn over, not turn over. David Livingstone said this: if a commission by an earthly king is considered an honor, how can a commission by a heavenly king be considered a sacrifice? As missionaries, if you know anything about David Livingstone, where he was, darkest Africa, when it was called darkest Africa for a reason. There were no roads. He was the one that made the foot trails from the ocean inland to make the trails, to make the roads. There was nothing before David Livingstone, because he saw a group of souls that had never yet known of a savior. That was David Livingstone. Air conditioning in his time wasn't a thing, but he gave up so much more than most missionaries do today. When we consider... let me back up just a second. Missionaries often get asked, what are you giving up? We've been asked the same question a couple of times. Air conditioning, it's not common in Italy. Internet connection, you can take it and leave it in Italy. It's not quite common. They say that medical is about 10 years behind. But what are we giving up? Our home address is the same as my parents and my older sister. 300 feet, maybe. Her dad lives about 3 hours away from us. When we're home, we get to see both sides quite often. Going overseas, that's not going to happen. That's what we're giving up. It's something that is temporal here in this life. But in eternity, we'll get to spend eternity with them. And if God allows, with many more that we've reached. But we've got to give up something. That's got to be something that we see as temporal, not something that changes our lives. I'm not saying that to put us on a pedestal. I'm saying each one of us has something that we're clinging to that is holding us back from doing something more for Christ. So back to the gospel, the Great Commission. Each one of us have heard the gospel in its simplest terms. Turn to John chapter 3. Most any 5-year-old could quote this verse. But we don't often teach them the next one either. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. If we were to learn and memorize these two verses, we can converse with a coworker. We can share with them the gospel. Just these two verses. And we can go further on break, tomorrow, after work, whatever that be. We can go further with them, showing them the Romans Road or other scriptures to give them the full plan of salvation. But it is all here in these two verses. Look at verse number 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. Most religions, that's their key phrase, is to condemn the world. We have to do something to please Jesus, to please Allah. We have to do something in our own power. But it says it here in Scripture, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. The finished work on Calvary, what more of a gospel is there? What more of a message, what stronger message is there than it's all been done for us? We simply have to accept it. One last place. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It says, ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. God, what will you have me to do? He spread His arms open wide to accept us in all the wretched sin that we have. And He bore it in His body for our sakes. Can't we ask Him in the same way, what will you have me to do? And it goes on, which is your reasonable service. This is the sacrifice that David Livingstone was making the exception. An absolute sacrifice of our lives. Not just at the end of our lives, when we've spent it all on ourselves, but when we're young and able to do something magnificent for God, with God. Not in our own power, but with Him. I'm not saying that the older generations can't do something. We have an older missionary, as he said earlier. But we as the younger generation, we have, if God allows, a natural lifetime. We have far more years ahead of us to do something for Him. Why don't we just get over ourselves, if you will? Get over all of those ambitions that we have.
Amen.
To do something secular with our lives. Going into the ministry, it's not something I would have chosen. I told you I was comfortable doing the family business. Most people would say, well, it was ministry. My family, since the early 90s, has been in Bible-making ministry. I personally have been in it since I was 13. I was comfortable in ministry, if you will. It was the family business. But it wasn't what God had for me. And it was at that point of realizing it that I was able to turn over and say, what will you have me to do? I know what you want me to do, and Lord, I'll do it. We can do stuff in ministry, essentially in our own power with God's blessing, but is it all that He has for us? Is it reaching our full potential? We can do it if we sacrifice ourselves. Here's an altar. They say that newer church buildings are being built without them. But this one still has an altar. Why don't we use it? As Abraham sacrificed Isaac, or was about to, why don't we sacrifice ourselves for Christ's sake? Father, I ask that you would take this. I know it wasn't long, but Lord, you speak to me every single time. What more can I do Lord, I know the places that I haven't given up. I know the sacrifices that I haven't made. Lord, there's somebody that you've called me to reach. Not just across the seas, in my own backyard. Lord, I ask that you would use this tonight as you have in my heart once again. In your name, amen.
I find myself listening to missionaries, and I've done my best to be transparent. I'm not trying to be, I'm just telling you what I think. Does anybody look at missionaries and say, why doesn't what I have take me where what they have has taken them? Why hasn't what I've got caused me to sacrifice what whatever they've got's caused them to sacrifice? Anybody understand what I'm talking about? You ever look at it and say, why is it? And sometimes I think, as Brother Dana was speaking, my mind kept going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Not the love, my love for Christ, the love of Christ. And I think it's where it comes from. I think there's an element of that we get so busy in this life that we never stop and realize the kind of love he just poured out on us. Calvary becomes kind of normal to us. Christianity. I remember when I got right with God years ago, I would have done anything for him. I'd have gone anywhere for him. Now, I still have the heart of, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I still have that. I'll do that. Now, but we just get settled. And it's hard for us to imagine us not doing something what we're doing right now. That's the love of Christ. He said the love of Christ can strengthen us. For we judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. You made mention about seeing people and the color of their skin or their cultural garb. Paul said, I just don't see a Hindu, and I don't see a black person, and I don't see a white person. He said, we judge if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he says, and that constrains me. And that's the word. That's the word. I guess I sit and I listen to these guys, and I love the Lord, and I love his word, and I want to be a witness, and I try to be a witness. But if I was trying to explain to you what I'm trying to explain to you right now, in light of what we've heard this evening and what we heard last night, I want to be constrained. Do you all understand that? Could you be honest enough tonight to say, you know what, I love the Lord and I want to serve him, but it's not like I can't say that my life for him is a life of being constrained. What's constrained? I can't do anything else. You get it? I can't do anything else. And that's why he's going to Ireland, because he says, I can't do anything else. And he's going to Italy because I can't do anything else. And as I listen to him, I find myself saying, Lord, I want to be constrained more than I am. Now, would you agree it's not God's fault if we're not constrained like we should be? Am I making sense? Or are you just not? Are you understand what I'm getting at? And just as much as last night was about, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And maybe I've just totally missed it. Maybe it's just me, and maybe I'm up here giving confession. But I think tonight is more about God. I don't know what it is I'm missing, but I want to be constrained. God, what'd he say? He says, you know, and if not a dispensation of the gospel is conveyed, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. I want to be constrained. Wouldn't it be nice for you to say about a track and handing tracks out, I can't help it? Wouldn't it be nice for you giving the missions to say, I can't help it? Wouldn't it be nice in our service and our love, our service for the Lord toward a world, wouldn't it be nice for us to say, God, I just can't help it. I have to. And what I really believe is, and I appreciate the message, I appreciate, pray ye, but go ye. Sometimes we get one right and maybe not the other one right or whatever, but I think what it comes down to is I think we'd get it right if we were just constrained. And you have to ask yourself, am I not seeing the love of Christ like I should see the love of Christ? Because whatever Paul had, where he says, I just can't help it. I'm bound to do this. The question is, do you want that? Wouldn't that be a nice thing to have as a child of God? Let's stand, please.